Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, and this is a different and special edition of Chasing Checkers because earlier this week, race cars were on the track at the Nashville Super Speedway for the first time in over a decade, and it was an awesome experience. I was there live, got to take it all in, got to see Kurt Busch, Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, all in a test session, a tire test for Goodyear. And I had a chance to be a part of a press conference and witness that with Darrell Waltrip, Steve Letart, Dale Jarrett, Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. And then I got to sit down and talk to some of these people as well. So that is what you're really going to hear today, is a lot of conversations with some of the big names in the sport. Also, Kyle Larson going to join the show ahead of the dirt race at Bristol. So a lot of fun, a little bit different than how we do things usually here on the show, but excited about it as the Nashville Super Speedway is going to get it going again. Ryan Blaney, the winner in Atlanta, and what a crazy turn of events that was, because Kyle Larson absolutely dominated. And then with eight laps left, Ryan Blaney takes the lead and gets the win. So I'm going to admit to Kyle Larson when he comes on that, you know, that's my fault, because I found out that Larson was going to join the show before the race. And then when he was dominated, I'm thinking, heck yeah, the guy that's going to win the race is coming on the show. So I take full responsibility for that. But that he's coming up just a little bit later on. We're going to kick things off with somebody that was actually on the show a couple weeks ago, but I sat down in person with the great Darrell Waltrip. He joined us on Darren Donick and Chase as well. And we started things off by him talking about how technology and everything has changed, and that is going to affect what the racing looks like now at the Nashville Super Speedway.
Yeah, I think what we need to be aware of is how technology has changed, not just the cars, but the tire. The Goodyear tire people are here today, and they're going to come with a tire that will be perfect for this concrete surface. The cars, the technology, the stuff that they do to these cars at the shop before they ever get to the track, the cars drive so much better. They handle so much better. They have so much more downforce. So when we were here before, we were maybe just in the beginning of developing some of these setups and some of the cars the way they are. And the Goodyear certainly learned a lot through the years. So I think you'll probably see a really exciting race. I mean, this track is conducive to that kind of racing. It's fairly low banking. Some drivers love concrete. Some drivers don't. Dover's a concrete racetrack. Some guys thrive at Dover. So you're going to have that no matter whether it's concrete, asphalt, or dirt. Some guys are going to love it and some guys are going to hate it. But I'll tell you, I just like the excitement. I walked into this place. I came through the tunnel, and everybody's got a smile on their face, and everybody's excited about the Cup guys coming to town. And I think it's just going to be a huge event, and I think it's going to be very successful.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer, the three-time Cup Series champion, Darrell Waltrip, live at the Nashville Super Speedway as they get ready for Father's Day weekend. You mentioned the tire test they're doing. Did you like testing? They don't do that as much anymore.
Well, I did a lot of tire testing, and it's, you think about it, I think they're going to have practice qualifying here for this race because it's a new venue. But the guys that are here today, Bobby Allison was really always – I did a lot of tire testing for Goodyear, and Bobby Allison would always complain that I was making a tire for my car. And he'd say, what about my car? Because I had a rear steer car. He had a front steer car. So Bobby was always complaining that we did too much tire testing. They spread it around now. They different manufacturers are here today, you know, Ford, Chevy, and Toyota. So there's a representative from some of the – each team, and they spread it around to where – hopefully nobody gets a huge advantage by being able to do the tire test. But I got to tell you, I'd love to be here today tire testing, because I believe that information would be invaluable to me when I came back.
So as someone that and I had you on my Chasing Checkers show a few weeks ago, and we talked a lot about getting out of the booth and enjoying retired life. When you come to the track now, is that when you miss it the most of seeing these guys run around?
Well, I'm in the media center.
Yep.
I got to stay out of the garage. Because some, you know, there's probably a uniform and a helmet down there that I can slide into and go out and make a few laps. I haven't been in about, you know, I haven't been behind the wheel of a Cup car in quite a while. But the sound, I'm a Nat track guy.
Yeah.
You know, I retired. It's probably a good thing because COVID kept a lot of kept the guys doing races in the studio. I got to see it, feel it, touch it, smell it, hear it. That's just who I am and kind of how I've grown up in this sport. So it probably was a good thing that I retired when I did. But if I went down to the in the garage right now and checked out the cars and look at the seat, and if it was big enough,
yeah,
and I could slide behind the wheel, I certainly would take that opportunity.
Well, and your brother Michael's going to be running the SRX with
yeah.
Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham. I saw a video of him, and he's a tall guy like I am.
Yeah.
So getting in one of those cars, it looked to be interesting for him. But that's got to be cool as his older brother to see that he's getting back in a car.
Yeah, he'll do fine. He's excited about it. Somebody asked me, said, "How come you're not in that series?" I said, "Well, they didn't ask me." There must be an age limit. I don't know, but that's going to be interesting. It's an IROC series, is what it
yeah.
is. Ray, you know, I met Ray Evernham in the IROC series back in the '80s. He was working for Jay Signore, and he was one of the crew chiefs on one of the cars I drove. And that's when I first met Ray. Ray's a smart guy. They're building great cars. I think that could be an exciting series to watch. It's made for TV. And, you know, my brother's made for TV. So
yep.
So I think they got some great drivers lined up, and I think it's going to be fun.
Your boys at Fox Sports have dubbed this as the best season ever. And
yep.
I've loved it. I've enjoyed, you know, since they came back from COVID, and, you know, we've seen the iRacing and a lot of made for TV things, but now back at the track. And so far, I think they're right. We'll see what happens this weekend. We talked about that with the dirt race at Bristol. That's going to be something. I'm going to be there. I found out I'm going to get to go, so that'll be a
yep.
lot of fun. But it has, and it's cool to see the hype and everybody excited about NASCAR again.
Yeah, well, somebody different wins every week.
Yeah.
And it's a young kid, you know, Christopher Bell. He won on the road course, and Blaney won Sunday at Atlanta. And so you got all these young kids, Chase Elliott and others, that are just – I think one of the things that fans complain to me about is, well, I don't know the drivers, but they didn't know me.
Right.
When I started, they didn't know me, but they got to know me, and I think that's where we are. We're at a crossroads.
Well, you talked a lot. So.
Well, if you don't know me, sit down and let's get to know each other. But I think there's a lot of young kids in this sport right now that are going to be here for a while, and I think when we get back to somewhat normalcy. And people, fans get to go back to the track, and the drivers get to mingle a little bit with the fans. They will get to know these drivers, and they'll find somebody they like, whether it's a product that they represent or that driver's personality or whatever. And we'll be rolling again.
You said something to me a few weeks ago that I had never thought about, but it has stuck with me since we had that interview. Of you made the comment that people know me more as the broadcaster now. They don't even remember that I raced,
yeah.
which I went, what? He's Darrell Walter.
Yeah.
Of course you should know that.
Yeah.
But the more I thought about that, and, you know, Dale Jarrett's here, and it's been a few years since he last drove. How important is it for the sport to remember guys like you, guys like DJ,
yeah.
that paved the way, that ran in a, yes, a different era, but these are all names that you need to know.
Yeah. I personally, you know, and I'm prejudiced, I guess, but I think my era was the greatest era that NASCAR ever had.
There pretty darn good.
Some pretty incredible names that came out of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. And so, but I just think that a friend of mine told me not too terribly long ago, he said, "You've won 84 races and 3 championships. And all you're known for is boogity, 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 let's go racing, boys." I said, yeah, well, a lot of people think this sport started in 1992. And that's
yeah.
amazing to me, because that's when Jeff Gordon, I give Jeff a lot of credit. He brought a new crowd, a young crowd. He's a good-looking guy, looked like a rock star, movie star. And I think we did develop a new fan base when Jeff came into the sport. But, yeah, the Hall of Fame, love going to the Hall of Fame, love – recognizing the crew chiefs and drivers and mechanics from the past. I think the future for our sport is pretty bright. We're going through some tough times. COVID has made it hard on everybody. But I really feel like the future of the sport's in good hands. Steve Phelps and Mike Helton and the guys at NASCAR are doing a good job of managing the sport through these tough times with COVID. And I think we come out the other side, we're going to be stronger. We've learned a lot.
Sure.
I mean, we all have. You think about it. You know, working from home and Zoom and all these different ways that we can communicate now without having to go into an office somewhere. So I think we've learned a lot, and we'll take that, what we've learned, and apply that to some new ideas. And I think the future's going to be bright.
Real quick, did you and Dale Jarrett race against each other at the fairgrounds at all?
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that. It's a long story. I can't go into it. Take too long. Yeah, but Dale and I are good friends. I knew his dad, Ned, and Ned was a great broadcaster, a great driver. 150 races. Dale and I have had many, many conversations. He drove for Robert Yates, and I've known Dale a long time. He's a good guy, and I'm glad he's here today. It's fun to have somebody with those kind of memories. He remembers that I won 84 races.
Well, DW, it's good to see you. Good to have you on again, and I appreciate it. Good to see race cars on the track too.
Oh, man,
a lot
of
fun.
Yeah, it's not only good to see it. I love hearing them.
Oh, me too.
I mean, that sound is I'm like a deer in the headlights. When I hear that sound, I go looking for it, see where it is. So it's good to be here today. Got a lot of media that showed up, and Eric Moses and his crowd are doing a great job of opening this place back up and getting it back on the schedule. It'll be fun to see how it works out.
Always love having Darrell Waltrip on the show. And let me tell you, during the press conference, he was a hoot. He sits down and he goes, "Well, the car run real good today. Thought we had a good chance to win," and everybody started laughing. It's DW holding court. That's what he does. So awesome to catch up with him. When we come back, another Hall of Famer is going to join the show. I had the opportunity to talk to Dale Jarrett, the 1999 Cup Series champion, about Nashville and much more. We'll do that next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. It's all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. You can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 1-866-RACETIX to get your tickets to the Ally 400 weekend. And also, it was announced on Tuesday, the Rackley Roofing 200, the Truck Series race on Friday night, as they have jumped on board to be the sponsor of that race. While I was out at Nashville Super Speedway, I got to sit down with Dale Jarrett. He's now with NASCAR on NBC and, of course, the Hall of Famer and the 1999 Cup Series champion. We got into coming back to Nashville and how things are going in the sport today.
DJ, good to see you. Good to meet you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Just glad to be back here in Nashville and know that we've got an upcoming race here, and I think it's a great area and really excited for the prospects here of not only a great show, but something really good for the fans.
I'm pretty sure I saw your son Jason race out here.
Yeah.
Either the Truck Series or the Busch Series. I can't remember when it was, but back in the first run. And so, it's good to see some racing back out here. And I was talking to DW earlier. I guess you two probably raced against each other out at the fairgrounds back in the day.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to only run a couple of races there, but it was DW was in the race, and so we did that. And what a great venue that was. But when this was built, I think that everybody was excited that something different, something new, and we saw a lot of really good Xfinity races. Over the years, when I retired and went to work for ESPN at that time, we covered the Xfinity races here and saw some really good racing. And I just think that it's exciting to throw something new. This 2021 season is bringing a lot of new venues and a lot of new things, but this is just one more of those things. And I think that we've got the right idea of not only are we going to good racetracks that has the potential to show us exciting racing and showcase these drivers' talents, but we're also giving the fans a destination place, basically. And I think that's the most important thing that we've done through the schedule is getting these fans opportunity to go to places that offer them a lot more than just being at the racetrack.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned NBC Sports, who you work for now. It'll be the first race of their slate of the Cup Series and the whole weekend. That's what's going to be cool is you guys get to kick off your season by coming to Nashville.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And what a great way to kick off our 2021 side of the season and get things going. I think that we're all excited to be here. And I know the one thing that I'm looking for, in 2020, as crazy as it was for everyone, but certainly within the sport of NASCAR racing, I went to one racetrack and wasn't even allowed in the garage area, and that was Indianapolis, our first one. So we're all excited the prospects of getting back to the racetrack, enjoying things around the track, and even though it still will be a little bit different, you'll be here and be a part of it because it's just not the same sitting in a studio in Charlotte, covering a race and being able to see and smell the smells and hear the sounds of a real race going on, and then seeing fans back in the stands.
As someone that's been around the sport for as long as you have as a driver, and of course your dad, Gentleman Ned, a driver as well, and to see the evolution and where we are now, and just people got back on board, it seemed, during the pandemic when the sport came back, and they've stuck with it, and we're seeing this new car coming out. How cool is it to see NASCAR really go back to its roots, and Nashville being a prime example of that?
Yeah, I think that's what we're seeing is the biggest thing is we are getting back to the core of this sport, what made it so popular to begin with, and I think that's really, really important, and we can't lose sight of what got us there. You always want to expand and do things bigger and better, but sometimes you lose sight of what really made everything happen, and I think we're getting back to that. I'm excited and very interested to see about that new car in 2022, what that's going to bring for the drivers, what it's going to do for the competition. I know that technically it's going to save the owners tons of money, so that's going to be a good thing. I hope that it's going to bring the competition even closer, even though it's hard to beat the competition that we've seen so far in 2021. So a lot of good things happening, but the new venues that we're bringing back, the diversity that we're seeing, I think is just so great, and just really excited about things going on.
Thing that I like is being an old school racing fan is you were a Ford guy for a long time, seeing the competition with the manufacturers, and maybe there's more coming down the pike, but between the Chevys and the Fords and the Toyotas, like it means more. The old adage of win on Sunday, sell on Monday seems to be back.
Oh, it sure does, and I think that you have that little bit of rivalry between them, and that's a good thing to see and to have. It works great within the sport. It's great to have that extra competition in the fans like that. One thing when I was growing up around the sport, and of course my dad was with Ford Motor Company for a lot of years and won championship for them, and then as I moved in to the world of driving, that was the one thing that I saw with fans. As you changed manufacturers, some fans didn't go with you because if you were going from Chevrolet to Ford, they were Chevrolet people. That's what they wanted, and so they might not kick you to the side completely, but their allegiance was with that manufacturer. And we've seen, and I think that one thing we're going to see. I always get concerned whenever we have big changes with cars, and with the new car coming in 2022, I think that everybody understood and realized the importance of keeping that look and understanding that we can't make this an IROC series where all the cars look the same. We have to keep that Ford, Chevy, and Toyota presence out there for the fans because, as you pointed out, it's a big business, and they're in this for a reason. They love the competition, but the biggest thing is that they're looking to sell more cars.
Absolutely. My first car was a black Chevrolet, so that should tell you who I was a fan of back in the day. What do you miss the most about driving a race car?
There's just nothing that takes the place of that competition. There's just you're always going to have that void, and I think that. You kind of know that in the back of your mind that you've done the most exciting thing you're ever going to do in your life, and I think that's why we hold on for as long as we do, because there really is nothing to take that place. And I've been in competition all my life, from playing sports growing up and then getting behind the wheel of a race car. And the thing that I miss is getting out and just competing to beat everybody else, I thought that I could, I love to play golf, and I thought, well, I'll just transfer that over to the golf course. And I'm not good enough at golf to take that to that level. And so that's the thing that I miss the most is, is not being able to compete at a high level for that top prize.
How impressed have you been with this young crop of drivers as we shift into a different era now that you've seen, you know, yourself retire and Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart? They've stepped aside, and now you got the Chase Briscoes and Christopher Bells and, of course, Chase Elliott, the defending champion. What do you think about those young guys?
You know, they're coming into their own now, and it's good to see. I think it was about 3 years ago, possibly four, that NASCAR made this big push to, you know, we're gonna promote all the young guys. That's what we're doing, and kind of leaving the veterans out of the marketing side of it, and kind of, you know, irked a few of them, sure. Understandably, because, you know, I mean, you know, they didn't even put Kyle Busch in there, and he was still a very young man at that time, but he was very experienced because he'd been around for a long time. But I think that we saw that they weren't ready to take the reins just yet at that particular time. You still have to have some experience in this, and what we're seeing now is that coming along with these drivers, and Chase Elliott winning the championship last year is a perfect example of what that experience does, and we're going to see more of that. You know, and you've got people, young drivers like Kyle Larson, and you talk about Christopher Bell. There's nobody more talented. Mm-hmm. Chase Briscoe getting the opportunities. So they're getting the opportunities in really good equipment early on, and that makes such a huge difference for them to make a difference. And you have to have that. You always wonder when you see a group retiring and it starts coming, you know, you talk about Gordon, you put a Matt Kenseth in there who was a champion and Daytona 500 champion, and you know, you could just go down the list of those, and who's going to replace that? You know, how's the sport, right? How's the face of the sport going to be? But it's really good right now because of this group that we have. They're entertaining. They're fun to watch. Ryan Blaney is as good a person as you'd ever want to meet, winning last weekend at Atlanta. And so these are the kind of things that we really need to keep happening because we've promoted them, we've built them up, and now they're starting to take a little bit more charge and giving the veterans all that they can handle.
Absolutely. Well, Dale, it's good to have you on. Appreciate the time today. Good to be out at the racetrack, and yep, we'll do it again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Fun to talk to DJ, and just a great guy. Really enjoyed getting to talk to him both on and off the air. Now we get in to the dirt, because the Bristol Dirt Race, which is actually where I am headed right after this show. I am headed to Bristol Motor Speedway to take in the dirt race, the truck race tonight, the cup race tomorrow, and somebody that's going to be participating in both of those is the guy that almost won last weekend, Kyle Larson. He joins us on the other side, Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, here on ESPN 102.5, the game and the game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you, and very excited to talk to our next guest. He is the driver of the number 5 Hendrick Chevrolet. Kyle Larson is here with us. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing great. It's good to talk to you. We've had you on the show before, but it's been a while. And I have to start this off by saying I'm sorry. It is all my fault, because I found out you were going to come on the show before the race, and then I got excited as Atlanta went on. I'm like, here he goes. He's dominating. He's going to win the race, and we're going to have him on the show. So it's all my fault, and I apologize.
Well, if there's anybody else to blame besides myself, then I'll go ahead and blame you. Thanks.
It was a heck of a run by you guys. I know second is not what you had in mind at all, but the success that you have had early on at Hendrick Motorsports, already have a win under your belt at Vegas, and then to have the run you did on Sunday, it has to be encouraging that with a new team, it's all coming together as fast as it is.
Yeah, definitely. It's been an awesome start to our season, and hopefully an awesome start to a long career together. So I've had a blast so far. Our equipment's been great. Cliff Daniels and everybody on our 5 car has been doing an amazing job. And yeah, I've been putting in a lot of work as well to be prepared on the weekends, and it's all kind of come together come Sundays. So just having a blast, and hopefully we can keep it up, keep leading a lot of laps and contending like we did last week, and hopefully those wins will come easy.
Communication is a huge part of being successful in anything, but especially in this sport. And you mentioned your crew chief, Cliff Daniels, I'm sure you had a certain way of doing things at Ganassi and the people that you talked to and you worked with, and now you have to kind of relearn that at Hendrick. What is it that is working between you and Cliff so far in the season?
Yeah, I really, really like Cliff a lot. You know, he's so thorough. He's a great leader. He's great with people. And I think, you know, to go along with how, you know, all the engineering background and stuff that he has like that, I think all those traits are really important when it comes to being a Cup Series crew chief. So, you know, his communication's been great. We've been able to talk quite a bit and prepare very well each weekend, you know, with him and our engineers and stuff. So they've got so much data and stuff to look at and help prepare you for the weekend that it's, you feel like you just kind of study for a test all week, and then you get to the weekend and hopefully you've studied enough to be good. So, but yes, you're right. Communication is important in everything, really.
Hendrick Motorsports has done a ton of winning over the years, all the championships, and whether it's Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon or Terry Labonte, whoever. I've always wondered, for a driver that walks in there for the first time knowing that you're going to get in one of Rick's cars, the five car especially, was it intimidating at all the first time you went in there?
I don't know if intimidating was the word, but like, I don't even know if it was really surreal yet until after the season started. You know, it was like, is this real life? Like, I'm racing for Rick Hendrick and I'm in this beautiful race shop and all these people are trying to help me go as fast as I can. I think that was just like, it was pretty cool and overwhelming at the same time, because, you know, I've looked up to their organization for my whole life. You know, I was a huge fan of Jeff Gordon's and Rick Hendrick, and man, just being able to have the opportunity to race for them with all the success that they've had is an honor. So, their race shop and their campus there is just unbelievable. Everything is perfect. And, you know, it's no surprise that we run well on the racetrack too.
Kyle Larson here with us on Chasing Checkers. This weekend is right up your alley. They've put dirt on the Bristol Motor Speedway, and you guys in the Cup Series are going to tackle that. I know you've run some other races there. You're going to do the truck race. But as somebody that has been so successful on dirt, what are people in? What are they going to see with the show on Saturday and Sunday as you guys tangle dirt for the first time in the Cup Series in a very long time?
Yeah, I don't know. Thankfully, I got some laps on the track there last week in a dirt late model, and you know, there was a bunch of other types of cars in series running there. So I could, you know, watch and see how they all raced, and really every series raced great. But the one that I think is going to be, you know, similar to kind of our style of racing was the street stocks, and they were really fun to watch. So they were able to run, you know, three or four wide and just put on great racing. So I think we'll be a lot like that. The track surface I felt like was really good, and you were able to get it slick and get moving around and find some grip in areas. So as long as they can keep the track slick for Saturday and Sunday, I think it'll be an awesome race.
What is it about dirt that's so fun for you? I know, you know, and well documented everything you've gone through in the last year, but when you were not in NASCAR, you were running dirt races. And why has that always been a fun for you to be able to get on dirt?
I don't know. I mean, it's what I got my start in. So I think everybody's got a love and passion for, you know, what they did and what helped them get to where they're at today. So, and too, I mean, they're just extremely fun vehicles to drive. The competition is intense no matter where you go throughout the world, really. So I love that aspect of it. And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, like people, I kind of compare it to, you know, people if they enjoy golf. Like that's kind of like people use golf as a getaway and from the real world. And in a way, that's kind of how I use dirt track racing is, you know, kind of, that's my place to go relax and take my mind off, you know, stressful things that may be going on in my life. but at the same time compete and feel like I'm getting myself better as a race car driver at the same time.
Kyle, the Pro Invitational Series is going to take place tonight on iRacing, and as we said, you know, this the journey you've been on for the past year, and I know in talking to you in the past and people that have talked to you, I mean, I know what kind of person you are and have learned from your mistake, but to be in the Pro Invitational Series, to be on iRacing, is it kind of like everything's come full circle now with everything that you've gone through?
I don't know. I've been back on iRacing now for, I don't know, probably four months or more, maybe. And I had no hesitation getting back on it. I've used it a lot over this off season and really even the beginning of the year to try to get myself prepared for like the Daytona road course that I hadn't ran any laps on. So I've used it as a tool to get better and get up to speed. And I love the platform. You know, they've built iRacing into an amazing thing. So excited to get back, you know, racing on iRacing on television, and you know, hopefully I have a good race tonight. I don't really know what to expect and how it's going to be.
It's going to be fun, that's for sure. Tell us about the Kyle Larson Foundation. I know that that is something that is near and dear for you, and Drive for Five campaign that is actually going to be on your iRacing car tonight. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about getting my foundation started. Gosh, for a while now, probably the last 5 or 6 years, I've wanted to start a foundation. I just didn't know what to kind of focus it around. And you know, after everything that I went through last year and all the learning that I did and different communities that I saw and worked with, I kind of wanted to help out, you know, those communities. So and then also, you know, I had a couple important people really help me out last year. So I'm working with them. And the first is the Sonne Foundation. You know, Tony Sonne, he's located in the Minnesota area. So, you know, he took me in and helped show me around and show me some things and teach me a lot. The Urban Youth Racing School in Philadelphia, some is, you know, Anthony and Michelle Martin are two people that I've worked with for a few years now. So they've been great to me after everything this past year. And then also Hendrick Cares now is the third organization that I'm working with. So the Drive for Five campaign is cool. I'm trying to raise, you know, $500,000 throughout this year to fund five students, feed five families, and benefit five communities through its alignment with the Urban Youth Racing School and Sonne Foundation and Hendrick Cares. So our goal is to, you know, fund five students through the Urban Youth Racing School and offer up to, you know, five scholarships, feed five families daily with the Sonne Foundation, and benefit five communities through the Hendrick Cares program. So right now through our season, I'm donating $5 per lap completed, as well as $5,000 for every top five finish. So I've already committed over $22,000 so far with the campaign, and I'm looking to grow it and make it bigger and bigger.
That is fantastic, and a best of luck with that, and best of luck tonight on iRacing and then this weekend at Bristol. Always enjoy talking to you and appreciate your openness, and glad to see the success that you're having.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We will wrap things up on this edition of Chasing Checkers with a sit-down with the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, Eric Moses. My first time actually meeting him in person. We will do that when we come back. Plus, Sunday Money, the Bristol Dirt Race. Who knows who's going to win this? It's all next. ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are back on Chasing Checkers, a very special edition. My thanks to the Nashville Super Speedway for having me out there on Tuesday for the Goodyear tire test, the press conference as well, and allowing me to sit down with some of these great voices of the sport and talk to them. There's more content, more of these videos and talks available at ChasingCheckersRadio.com. So you can check that out as well, and always follow us on Twitter at Chasin_checkers. That's Chasin, Chasin_checkers on Twitter as well. Now we talk to Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. It is a pleasure to be out at the Nashville Super Speedway as we have been, and actually get to have a one-on-one face-to-face with Eric Moses, the president of Nashville Super Speedway. We were just talking before we came on the air. I mean, we've had you on by phone. We've talked on social media, but actually meeting now, it feels like we've known each other for a while, but it's good to actually see you in the flesh.
It does. It does feel like we've known each other, but, you know, social media is good in that way, yep. But I like this better.
Absolutely. So this is a special day because not only did you announce Rackley Roofing coming on board to sponsor the Camping World Truck Series race, but to have Dale Jarrett, Darrell Waltrip, Steve Letarte in the house and race cars on the track for the first time in over a decade. I know that had to be cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It feels like one of those milestones in this rebirth of this track. Getting cars back on the track that will help us to make certain that the competition is really good in June is, you know, essential to what we're trying to do here. And it up until now, it's kind of been a bit theoretical.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're selling racing. We're getting people ready for racing, but there hadn't been any racing or any cars on the track. So today made it feel all that much more real.
And that was something that I was looking forward to of, you know, just I've been out here before. I've seen races here before. But, OK, what does it look like? How has it changed? What have they done, you know, in the time since they announced? And all of that I just forgot as I was going through the tunnel and I saw Kurt Busch rounding turn three into turn four. And I was going, oh, okay, yeah. I'm back.
Yeah.
Everything feels good again.
Oh, yeah, those guys are getting after it for sure.
Yeah.
Getting after it.
Yeah. Well, and I was, you know, being the NASCAR nerd that I am, I was like, okay, I'm trying to remember the lines and, mm-hmm. you know, what worked and what didn't. And obviously they were trying different things with different tires and, you know, the technology's come such a long way. DW was talking about that.
Yeah, I think that's the point that I think is lost a lot on fans. Especially really, really avid fans on social media is that mm-hmm. they want to make comparisons in 2021 to what happened in 2001 or 2011. And the sport has changed in so many ways. The technology has changed. You know, this new group of drivers has changed in terms of the way that they are trained and practice and all that kind of stuff. And so I think nobody should necessarily expect to see what they saw the last time they were here. I think the experience is going to be new for all of us.
And you made, like we said, made the announcements today. You have Ally coming on board for the Cup race. There's more coming. This is just the beginning as we inch closer and closer to June.
Yeah, so excited to be able to announce Rackley Roofing as the entitlement partner for our Truck Series race, the Rackley Roofing 200. Local company, Tennessee company, well-respected. They do great work and have done it for us out here. Probably have touched almost every building that has a roof out here. And so mm-hmm. we can speak from experience as satisfied customers that those guys are they do what they say they're going to do and have great values as a company. And that's important for us, too. As you relaunch a brand, you want to associate with other brands that are well-respected and the people that live their values. And so that's what we've seen from them, and we're excited about the partnership.
You also announced last week, I believe it was, adding additional grandstands because of the demand of tickets, which is a good thing. You know, obviously mm-hmm. selling tickets. I was telling Mike Tatoyan the hunger that this market has for yeah. the sport and to have them back. That had to feel pretty good to know that you're adding some. And hopefully, with protocols, you'll be able to have a ton of people in here.
Yeah, I mean, we want everybody who wants an opportunity to experience the race weekend to experience it. You know, we're going to do all that we can to keep people safe, make certain that we have mitigation protocols in place, et cetera. But we're all hoping and praying that June is going to be very different than, you know, this year has been thus
sure.
far. Certainly, as we sit here on March 23rd, I think things are all kind of trending in the right direction in our state and in our country.
You went to Atlanta last weekend mm-hmm. for the race. What were you able to learn from that?
You know, that people are hungry, as you said, to kind of get out and to get back to, I won't even say life is normal, but parts of it that feel normal and familiar. And being at the racetrack is a big part of that. And so I saw a lot of happy faces, man. And,
yeah.
and the thing that makes me excited about working in sports is the unique opportunity that we have to put smiles on faces and to create those shared experiences for people that they look forward to, you know, maybe all week, maybe all month, maybe all year, right? Your vacation for a lot of people may be coming to Nashville
right.
for our race and to be here that weekend or hopefully longer than that weekend and taking in all that there is to take in this marketplace.
The thing that's cool is not only are you guys coming, but you got the Grand Prix with IndyCar that'll be in August
yep.
on the streets of town. The movement with the fairgrounds and potentially getting that going again. They're actually going to host the SRX race in July. So 3 months straight, you got racing in this market. But There's a bit of symmetry as you all kind of work together to bring racing back into this market. And that's cool to me that, you know, you all have your different facilities and want to pack the house. But I think it shows the importance of just being able to deliver for the race fan in this market.
Yeah, I think, you know, Nashville is becoming motorsports central, you know, if you will, given all the activity that will happen this summer. And, you know, what I think is that what is good for the sport is kind of good for all of us. And I think we can all coexist. This place is growing in terms of population and people moving here from all over the country, like myself and like many people on my staff. But people also want to visit here. And so I think it might be a little different if we were a different market, a different sized market, less of a tourist destination. There might be a little more kind of, I won't say hard feelings, but people might have sharpened their elbows when you're all launching brand new events at the same time. But in a place like this where we all know we're selling this marketplace, I think there's room for everyone.
And exactly. That is the best way to put it. Room for everybody. 1-866-RACE-TIX. That's the number. NashvilleSuperspeedway.com. You can get tickets for that weekend, the Rackley Roofing 200, the Xfinity Race, and the Ally 400 Father's Day weekend. Eric, it's a pleasure. It's good to meet you in person. Likewise. Good to be here and, again, see race cars on the track. And Darren asked me if, you know, I was going to make some laps. I don't know if we're ready for that yet. But
well, I mean, the track needs to calm down after having the pros out there before they're ready for you. So,
yes,
you know, we got to give the track a little bit of a break. But it's going to happen. I feel like it's going to happen.
It's going to happen at some point. He is Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway.
Eric Moses, a great guy. I think he is the perfect individual to lead that track and get them back into racing as they get ready to host races for the first time in over a decade. Again, the Ally 400 weekend, which is anchored by the Cup race. That is the main event. It is June 18th, 19th, and 20th out at the Nashville Super Speedway. The trucks on Friday night, then Xfinity Saturday afternoon, the Cup Series Sunday afternoon. But this weekend, it's the Food City Dirt Race. We don't know what to expect. The truck races tonight. It's going to be crazy tomorrow. Let's get to Sunday Money. So this is the drill. I give you three bets that I feel really good about. The odds all from BetMGM. And I give you a long shot. Here's the problem. Vegas has even had a hard time with this one because there's so many unknowns. So let's just have fun with this and see how this goes. The favorite by a lot. Usually in NASCAR racing, you don't see a lot of minuses. Kyle Larson is minus 120. I mean, he's a dirt racer. We just had him on practice. He's looked like he's got this place figured out the most. So Kyle Larson has to be on the list for sure. I would then go Christopher Bell, plus 240. Right now I'm going chalk. He's got a dirt background as well. I think he'd be talented on this. Austin Dillon at plus 375. He won at Eldora in the first truck race there a few years ago. Some others to pay attention to. Stuart Friesen, who is a truck series regular. He's plus 500. He's one that I think that you can look at. And then to give you the long shot, as I go down the list, I mean, there are a lot of regulars that usually would be at the top of the list that are on down the way here. I'm going to go with Matt DiMenedetto plus 1,000. I think there's a lot of good value there. This whole thing is a crapshoot. That's basically what this is going to be. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, though. As we talked about last week, NASCAR trying something new. That's what they need to do. And so I hope you all enjoy it. I'm going to be there. You're going to see a ton of content on Chasing_Checkers on Twitter and ChasingCheckersRadio.com, TheGameNashville.com as well. If you missed the show, we had some great interviews. My thanks to Darrell Waltrip, Eric Moses, Dale Jarrett, Kyle Larson for joining the show today, a special edition of Chasing Checkers, and we'll have full reaction from the Bristol Motor Speedway next week in the Bristol Dirt. Enjoy that. 9 o'clock every Saturday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, but all the time on demand wherever you get your podcast. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.